This is the Rich Dad Radio Show. The good news and bad news about money. Here's Robert Kiyosaki.
Hello, hello, hello. Hello, Robert Kiyosaki, the Rich Dad Radio Show. And today, we'll always talk about the good news and bad news about money. And there's always good news and bad news about money, no matter which way it is. And we have a guest today. His name is Gary Wagner. He covers precious metals. His company is the goldforecast.com, a daily newsletter. And Gary is much respected for his opinions on what's going on in gold. So I'm very personally interested in interviewing him because I love gold. And lately, the market's been pretty volatile in gold. This is February 2023, and the market's going up and down after coming up for a while. And so I want to find out what he's doing, but please check into his thegoldforecast.com. And he's a frequent contributor to Stocks and Commodities magazine. So he's very well respected in the industry. And I think it's kind of interesting that he's in Hawaii and I'm from Hawaii. And he has Japanese swords behind him. And my family, this is my great-great-great-great-great-uncle, this photograph, Gary, was taken by Commodore Perry when Perry opened the doors of Japan. And that sword in his hand is mine. It's upstairs in my gun room. It's a very safekeeping. It's spectacular. It's got blood stains on it. So our family was samurai. In the lineage, if you understand that. It's like the feudal knights and stuff like that.
I very much understand.
So it's a very culture of England. But I understand you're from Hungary. Is that correct, Gary?
I am a first-generation immigrant. Both of my parents were born in Hungary. My mother in Pest, which is part of Budapest. My father in a small village called Gyöngyös. Our lineage goes back at least 10 generations of all being pure Hungarian, correct.
And then how did you get to Hawaii, Gary?
Well, it's an interesting story, but to make it short, I started coming here about 40 years ago. I have family here. The first time I came here, I felt something special, what people called the Aloha spirit, the respect for the Aina. And I knew at that moment that it wasn't if, but when I would make the transition and make this my permanent home. I moved here full time in 2000. So I've been here full time for about 23 years. But to give you a little bit of tenure, I have two sons. My youngest is 31, and he was in diapers in Kailua when Hurricane Iniki hit the islands. Wow. So I have been here for years. It took me a while to move here permanently.
I remember Hurricane Iniki very, very well because I was living at the Colony Surf on Waikiki Beach, and it was pounding us. It was really frightening. So anyway,
it was.
So how is it? You have almost a California accent, so you don't sound like you're from a Eastern European country.
I'm not. I was born in Detroit. Typically, people say I've got a broadcaster's voice, which is a neutral Central American voice. I lived in California from 83 to 99, so it never really changed. And to this day, I sound like I believe a Midwesterner, but that's up to the audience to determine what my tonality and accent is.
So would you explain what a candlestick does?
Absolutely. First of all, I have to say it's an honor because what you have done by presenting the idea of passive income changed millions of American individuals' lives by giving them that information. It's truly an honor to say whatever I say and hopefully has some meaning. Before I talk about candlesticks, I want to define the difference between the Western trader and the Eastern counterpart.
That'd be good.
So if I say to you that gold closed up $50 today, you have intrinsically inferred that I'm representing to the current price to where it closed yesterday, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So The Western technician puts its primary focus on a close-to-close change to chart price movement over time in a stock or commodity, and I focus on commodities and hard assets. The Japanese doesn't look at it that way, and it's a very subtle difference, but it's huge. The Japanese look at each trading session as a battle, and that battle is between the bullish faction and the bearish faction. And so the most important piece of information to the Japanese trader is where a market opens on a trading session and where it closes. If it opens and closes higher, it's filled in into a certain color. In the case of the way I do it, it's green. And if it opens and closes lower, we paint it in red. Originally, it was black and white because it was on parchment paper. The key is that you're familiar with a bar chart, and I'm assuming that most of your viewers that have even a basic knowledge of technical analysis know what a bar chart is. It plots four data points: open, low, high, and close. A candlestick chart uses the identical data points, but it has one key distinction. The high and the low are drawn the same way. It's a straight vertical line. In a bar chart, they have a horizontal slash representing the open and a horizontal slash on the other side representing the close.
Right.
All the Japanese do is they draw a rectangle around the open and closing price, because their belief is that that candlestick gives you a lot of information on who was victorious during the battle of the trading session that you're looking at that day. And so it also goes into the linguistics of Japanese speech, which is word picture or kanjis. It's much more expressive. It uses the same information. You give up nothing, but it increases your awareness visually. And so when you look at a candlestick chart and the different color changes, the size of the candles, it kind of pops out in three dimension and immediately gives you information.
So as I said, Gary, Alexander Everett talks about, you know, technical trading, which most people do. When you watch CNBC, that's what's on the charts. And I found out I have a brain for real estate. And so when he talked about candlesticks, because I'm Japanese, I understood it even less. Wasn't the Hungarian Revolution 1956?
Yes.
I remember that very clearly. I remember that very clearly. And that's why I'm going to hold up this book here. I'm being attacked by Arizona State University because I'm a capitalist. And I said to, I was in a press release, and I think you'll understand this being from Hungary and appreciating what America offers people who come here, that I held this book up to the camera while being interviewed about how do you feel about Arizona State teachers, you know, upset with me because I'm a capitalist. And I said, I'm a conservative capitalist. I don't know about all these. And I held this book up and I said, you should read this book. You know, I read this book when I was 18 years old in 1965, because I went to school in New York, went to military school, one of the five federal academies, because my family, again, because we were interred and prisoners and slaves, basically, because Japanese came to America as indentured slave servants. That's another way of saying paid slaves. I'm sitting here with my flight jacket because like my uncles, I fought for America. I fought in Vietnam twice.
Which I am a little bit young. I was born in 54. Mm-hmm. I was 1H in terms of my draft number. I understand that you actually went to Vietnam. My friends that went to Vietnam never came back the same. You have to be a changed person. And my family were changed because they lived through the atrocities of war. And the fact that you went there, did your duty and came back, the one thing that always hurt me inside is they didn't salute you. They didn't say thank you for your service, because it was unpopular. And while I personally don't believe we should have been there, the military men that went over there because they wanted to do what their superiors told them, and they believed in protecting the country, and they took that doctrine wholly. But the fact that there was negative sentiment for the soldiers returning, including my friends, always ate me up inside, because anyone who I have been blessed. I never had to deal with the atrocities of war. My friends did. I saw how changed they were. And the fact that people would spit on them or not respect them ate me up inside. I understand that.
And thank you
for your service, by the way.
I didn't do it for that. I'm just saying that's part of the Japanese heritage. So I'm quite honored. Like I said, this is my great-great uncle. That sword is in my keeping. And you have a sword proudly displayed upon you. So I'm honored to be in your presence, Gary. So
thank you so much.
Enough of this kiss-ass shit about the
other
stuff. So when we come back, I want to discuss how candlesticks change your life and why it's worth studying.
Perfect.
Does that make sense to you? Because there's a gap, Gary, the gap between rich and poor right now is so wide, it's dangerous. We're on the brink of communism again. And that's
socialism,
why
at least, yes, sir.
I wrote this book here. You know, fake money, that's our compatico there. Fake teachers, I mean, they're going to picket my event at ASU Wednesday night. And then fake assets. The US dollar is not a freaking asset. Gold is. And so I want to also let you know, I'm pretty hardcore gold miner, Gary.
I mean, so if I, for example, say, would you rather have this or this? We're in agreement.
Is that silver?
We'll talk about that after the break.
Okay, so Gary, this is a dory bar from my gold mine.
Okay.
I own.
Okay.
What I'm trying to say is you have a Japanese mind. You know, I have an American mind. And so I have to buy the frickin' gold mine and not worry about the price of silver. It's a silver. And this here is one of my proudest things. It's my gold from my mine. It's the richest gold mine in America. The call sign, I took it public in July of this year, last year, 2022. Gary, the sign is called ODV. Please check it out on your candlesticks and all this stuff.
I'll be a stockholder just out of respect.
Can you see the gold in that thing?
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's in veins. I have to look sideways. My monitors are sideways to have this set because it's a real set. But
so,
yes.
Wait. So let me finish, Gary. You have a Japanese mind. I have a slow American mind. That's why I buy gold mines, but I don't trade candlesticks. And we come back. I want you to explain to the world how candlesticks change your life. Because my God, this gap between rich and poor right now because of fake money. And so that's why you're a guest on the Rich Dad Radio Show, because I want to find out what you learned from the Japanese that changed your life. We'll be right back. Welcome back, Robert Kiyosaki, the Rich Dad Radio Show. The good news and bad news about money. Today we have some really good news because we have an expert in what's called Japanese candlesticks. And for those who may not know what Japanese candlesticks, neither do I, because I studied them. I still don't know them, and I'm Japanese. So his name is Gary Wagner. He's very well respected in the industry of gold, which, as you may know, I am a freaking gold bug. I own gold mines and silver mines. This is a dory bar for my silver mine, which I sold to a major, which is what entrepreneurs do. But anyway, Gary is first generation, so his parents had to escape from a country with hyperinflation. And hyperinflation very simply means cash is trash. Nobody wants it. And that's why I wrote this book here, Fake Money, Fake Teachers, Fake Assets. And the reason you have to know cash flow from assets, passive income, is because our cash is trash and our assets are fake. So with that said, Gary, how did you become so Japanese when you came from Hungary? Your parents are from Hungary. And what did they say about hyperinflation when they left Hungary?
They experienced hyperinflation. I was told stories about boxes of currency needed to buy a loaf of bread. They highly believed that gold and art were the only assets to own. That's how I was brought up. The way I was exposed to candlesticks, I started as a...
Wait, you told me your uncle was buying gold at bulk prices or something, or...
My father used to go to New York to buy gold when it was illegal to buy coins as scrap gold,
And why was it illegal to own gold for Americans?
It was part of Roosevelt's thing in the 1930s when they confiscated the gold. They let you buy jewelry, but you couldn't buy a gold minted coin anymore. They had confiscated them and melted them down.
Yes, but also what happens historically is that was 1933. 1936, Social Security was started. And now Americans are broke because Social Security is going to go broke. And so that's why I want you on the program, because you and I are the similar. We may be different nationalities, but we're both hardcore gold bugs.
Absolutely.
And so we're kind of short on time, but how, and this gap is too big between rich and poor right now. How did candlesticks, and how did you study it, and how did it change your life? That's a pretty profound statement, my friend.
They did. Now, I'll try to express it very quickly. Started as a commodity broker. I quickly learned that 90% of the people that started in commodities lost. I would not be part and parcel to an industry where clients who became my friends didn't profit from their association with me. I became a CTA, commodity trading advisor.
Wow, really?
So I was paid 15% of the profits. And I felt I could go deeper than that because I wanted to educate people. I had a client that was remarkable in his accuracy. I saw him hit 15 correct trades in a row, and every time he was right. And he was an engineer in Connecticut named David Moore. And I asked him, David, what the heck are you doing that allows you to sell the tops and buy the bottoms when everyone else thinks the opposite? They had that mentality, that group mentality. He said, I can't explain it to you, but I'll send you a book. He sent me the Japanese Chart of Charts by Seiko Shimizu. Took me 3 readings to get it. Once I got it, it was kind of the doors opening up, understanding something I never saw. And from there, I realized I couldn't teach it. I developed a software product, and I wrote my first book published in 1993 called Trading Applications of Japanese Candlestick Charting. And then about a year later, I was named one of the top traders. I'm listed as one of the 12 top traders in the world by Joe Kreutzinger, I believe he wrote that. And this is directly due to my understanding of candlesticks. What it did is it changed my life. It made me a better trader. It taught me how to effectively interpret the market in a way I could never have done before. It made me successful. It was the doorway. I've worked with Kitco Metals for 12 years, writing daily blogs. That came about because of the information I had captured. I realized that it was unique, it was different, and it provided information unavailable to the Western trader. And don't get me wrong, I started, Ehlers and I both wrote for Stocks and Commodities. That's how I know him. I actually started in California in KY with John Bollinger. He was the technical manager. So I was trained in Western technical indicators, moving averages, stochastics and whatnot.
Right.
But when I was introduced to candlesticks, I saw and realized a way to look at the market that, quite honestly, was a way to be much more profitable, a higher percentage of the time. And I wanted to share that with my clients, and I wanted to educate people about it to benefit them.
And you've done a fantastic job, Gary, because you're so well respected.
Thank you.
In a world where people may know this, there's two basic types of investing. Fundamental, which is what Rich Dad does, is income statements and balance sheets. And technical, which is emotions. Markets go up and markets come down. And the great thing, the reason I was studying technical was fundamentals go up too slowly. But when they come down like a house. You know, they just drop. So I was studying technicals for self-protection. And that's when I first heard of candlesticks, Japanese candlesticks. But my brain is a real estate brain, so I just couldn't catch on to it. So would you explain what a candlestick is different than American or Western technical trading?
Absolutely. One, I already talked about the different of the viewpoint. I consider myself a hybrid technician. I use fundamentals to determine the direction of markets. I think gold's going to hit an all-time high this year because of the fundamentals. But the technicals allow me a precise, accurate entry and exit points for trades. And for our subscribers that are physical accumulators, I tell them when to accumulate, when to hold off. If they want to sell some, I warn them, don't put it into cash unless you can buy a property, buy an asset with it. I give them the optimum time to actually sell that, because I'm like you. I buy gold, I buy silver. It's going to my kids. It will never be sold. I never bought it to sell it. I bought it to pass on generational wealth, because I know those dollars are going to become more worthless each day. And that is a fact. It's an undeniable fact. So that's how I got into candlesticks and why I believe in them, because they help me teach my associates and the people that I speak with, because I used to lecture a lot more, the benefits, and I try to teach them how to implement and use them.
Yeah, so what you've explained to me, probably clearer than anybody else I know, is your candlestick looks like this. You have a line and a line. The line shows you the buy and then the sell, or the sell and the buy and all this stuff. And so it's actually kind of a picture in your head when you look at a candlestick.
It is a picture. And it goes one step further that maybe if I'm fortunate enough to get invited back, those individual candlesticks are one thing, but they form in groups patterns. And so, example, one's called the Three River Evening Star. It has a definition, and it will give you a very accurate possibility that a market that's moving up is about to pivot and sell off. It's going to hit a top, and it will provide you that information far quicker than any Western tool. The key is most Western technical indicators are lagging. A moving average by nature is a lagging indicator.
Right.
One of my mentors, Larry Williams, taught me that technicians are kind of like a person standing at the edge of the back of a boat, looking at the wake from the propellers and trying to ascertain where the market's going to move by seeing where it's been. It lags. There's only a few things that are not lagging indicators, but leading indicators. Candlesticks is one of them. Fibonacci, usage of Fibonacci numbers, ratios, retracements, and extension is another one. There are very few indicators that run ahead of real-time data.
I tried Fibonacci also, but I flunked math. It just didn't click in my head. So I'm a real estate guy. Well, would you show your book again, please? Because I think it's important.
Certainly. My primary book that I wrote was Trading Applications of Japanese Candlestick Charting. It's available on Amazon. I published it in 93. It explains explains a complete overview of the history. It defines each candlestick and each pattern. And then I have real life examples of trading gold using them, trading cattle, because my expertise was commodities when I started. I always thought stocks were too slow and real estate was something I did for myself. And it wasn't, I would buy real estate because A, I needed a place to live, and B, I could then buy another place and get passive income, which I learned from you.
Yeah. So, Gary, is that book under your name?
It is co-authored by Gary S. Wagner and Brad Matheny. Brad was my partner who helped me develop the Candlestick Forecaster, which was recognized as the first computer program to automatically identify candlestick patterns.
Right. I love it. You know why? It's because I get my ass in trouble. The reason I'm in trouble with Arizona State and the school teachers are after me is because I call them a bunch of fakes. they talk about things they don't do. You know, they teach subjects they have no relationship to or much use to anybody. And so one of the things, you know, we're putting on, Sarah and I are putting on an event April 6th, 7th, 8th. And this is my real team, my real entrepreneurs coming together to teach. But I'm sick and tired of teachers who are faked, you know, fake teachers, fake money, and fake assets. So I congratulate you. I suggest everybody pick up the book just to understand it. Now, I am Japanese, but I didn't understand it, Gary. But we have different types of minds. So, Matt, a quick question on gold and silver, because again, I own tons. I mean, I literally have more gold and more. I started buying my first precious metal was I would take my I caddy at Hilo Country Club in Hilo.
Okay.
I get a buck for nine holes, you know, and I take that buck down. I go to First Hawaiian Bank, but back then was Bishop Bank, and I would get a wall of quarters, four quarters or 10 dimes, whatever it was. And I would look for that little copper ring around it. If it had a copper ring, went back to the bank. I didn't know what I was doing. I was 17 years old, 64. But that's Gresham's law, which states that when fake money enters the system, real money goes into hiding. And so I knew the real money was still at the bank. So I trade my little dollars in, give back all the copper tinge fake silver because Johnson took it off the gold standard, the silver standard in 64. And I have tons of silver and gold mines. And I'm never going to sell it because I use debt because money became debt, as you know, in 71 with Nixon.
Right.
And because I use debt, I pay no taxes. That's my formula. But, you know, I'm so glad you wrote that book because you're more Japanese than me and I didn't understand it.
We're both old school with the right values. I see a commonality there, and we both appreciate gold. And that's why I pulled this up, which is I've been buying silver kilos lately because I'm interested in the silo, the weight. I don't believe in numismatics only because they can be valued at huge different ranges.
Yeah. Wait. For those who don't know what Gary just used, maybe a few people use, it's called numismatic. So when you go into a gold or silver dealer, you'll find one coin worth one quarter worth $5, another quarter worth $50. And the difference is the date on the coin. That's numismatic. It's a collectible. So and this is my question. Why silver? Because I've been saying, you know, I speak for Lyric Capital. I'm always saying buy silver. Why silver?
To me, it's because it has more upside potential. I stopped buying gold at around 1400. I like the buffalo with the Indian on one side, 24K, and the buffalo on the other from the US Mint. Small premium, but they're beautiful coins in the same way that when I buy silver, I kind of like to buy the US Mint ones. It costs me a little bit more, but I enjoy looking at them. But silver hit a high twice. Silver went to $50 twice, never hit that when gold hit these all-time highs. And I think that will change.
What was the silver coin you held up, Gary?
Hmm?
What was the silver coin you held up?
It was a U.S. Liberty 1 ounce piece. It's just in a nice case.
So it's not an eagle?
No, it's a Liberty. It's got, I'll hold it up so that.
When was it minted? What was the strike date?
This was 2016. And I believe they are called Liberties.
Okay.
The Liberty Silver Dollar.
Okay. And so last question I have for you on this. See, I like silver because it's an industrial metal as well as a monetary metal and a numismatic metal. So what do you see any demand increasing because of EV, electronic vehicles, batteries, and silver being, you know, I understand silver is being shipped to India and China in large volumes. So, you know, our metals are moving from west to east, you know, into the Asian countries. Do you see the same trends going?
Absolutely. No matter where they're producing them, they need silver. So there's two components to silver. It's a semi-precious metal and an industrial metal. It hasn't kept up with inflation in the same way gold has. However, the usage for silver will far outstrip the usage for gold. And for that reason, there will be demand for silver that is in the industrial area that's a growing area that will only get larger and larger. That's why I stopped buying gold in when it was 1400. Now I only buy silver.
Now you're telling me I was buying gold at 18. But anyway,
you were smarter than me.
But that's what candlesticks will tell you, when to come in and when to get out. So anyway, Gary, thank you very much for your wisdom and all this. Once again, you are the producer of the Gold Forecast, but you buy silver. And it's a daily video newsletter. And then what else can we say about you that people get in touch with your work on a daily basis?
We have a YouTube channel that's the Gold Forecast. You can see all of the videos I've done since 2009 at no charge. You can sign up for our free newsletter and watch our weekend review at no charge. Our premium subscribers are the ones that actually want to use that information in a more tangible way for either trading or accumulation. But we offer free services for those that are just getting interested and a premium subscriber service for those that need it.
Okay, so how did they get that?
TheGoldForecast.com, sign up for the 14-day free trial. If you see there's value, stay with it. If you don't take it. And if you do join up, we make it difficult to get out of it. Send me an email, said I don't want it anymore, and you're done. We don't make you jump through hoops.
Do you have a prediction on the, everybody wants a prediction. What's the price of gold in 5 years?
Happy to do that. My technical studies indicate the gold will end up between 2,300 and 2,400 by the end of Q4 this year. That's my projection.
That's a lot.
It's conservative compared to some.
What about silver? Today's about
silver. I want to see it break through 30 because silver is an unusual animal in that it didn't go to all-time highs when gold did. I think I'm looking at year of end between 42 and 47. I'm thinking it might approach it, but I'd love to see it break above it. If gold goes to an all-time high, so should silver. Right. But that hasn't been the case historically over the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. And so I want to say the bad news is if you see gold and silver going up, that means the dollar's going down.
There's no other way the dollar can go. Yeah. And with Yellen and the debt ceiling, we don't have time for that. The dollar will always be worth less. Yeah. Other currencies are in a race to zero because they can print them. Yeah. And so fiat, or as you call fake currencies, will never be worth more than they're worth today. That's my sentiment. I could be wrong.
I'm not prejudiced. I call it fake money and fake teachers, but I should have called them fiat teachers. Gary, I'm catching hell right now from Arizona State teachers, you know, but I'm a conservative and I like capitalism. And I think every one of them should read this book here. I had to read it in 65, and that changed my life. That book changed. Communism changed my life. Thank you very much. And we'll make sure that people get to your site. And I appreciate your service to humanity. And I'm glad Japanese candlesticks changed your life. Thank you, Gary.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been an honor.
It's my honor. Thank you. Welcome back, Robert Kiyosaki, the Rich Dad Report, Rich Dad Show, the good news and bad news about money. Special thanks to Gary Wagner. He's executive covering, he's the producer of the goldforecast.com. Please visit his site and look into Japanese candlesticks. And he's more Japanese than me. I'll show this picture again. This is a picture of my great, great, great uncle. And that samurai sword is in my gun cabinet here in Arizona. And Gary has his swords. And these swords are worth thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. The thing that's kind of interesting, this is a swords guy looked at it. He says, you got bloodstains on it, you know, because the sword is kind of damaged. He says, they cut through bone. I'm going, so this is around 1850, I think this picture was taken. So it's kind of interesting for a white guy who's more Japanese than a Japanese guy. What do you think, Sarah?
I thought it was a great discussion. You know, when we first pitched Gary coming on the show and he's talking about Japanese candlesticks, I had zero clue right. What the heck he was talking about. And so I had to go Google it. And then I was like, oh, okay. So I just thought it's something we've never discussed in my time with the Rich Dad Radio Show. Right. I thought it was a valuable piece of information. I loved how he described the difference between a Western trader and the Eastern trader and what they see as important. I thought that was very interesting. And then
what did you pick up? Because like I said, I studied this stuff and I have a white man's brain. I didn't catch on to it.
So this is one of those, I'm going to have to go back and listen to it. But basically he was talking about how they build a picture to see a trend. And their pictures are different because they value that open and close differently than right. how we would. So it's total, you know, it's a vertical visual versus right. a horizontal. So different though, right? Never even would have considered talking about, you know, thought about the importance of a candlestick. Let me
add one thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
The candlestick is called a candlestick because of these points on it. And it's a picture, so it wraps their brains into it. And apparently his brain adapted to it.
Yeah.
So in my word, in my vocabulary as a Japanese Westerner, we're either in accumulation or distribution. Those are the two words, it's entry and exit. Accumulate, distribute means you sell. And I never sell gold or silver. I almost never sell real estate either because I'm in accumulation. And as this book says, I want assets, not fake assets. And it's got to be making money. So gold and silver always makes money because it's real money. It doesn't lose. You know, I call gold and silver God's money because it was here when the earth was formed. And that's what this here again, this is my little gold mine. Call sign ODV on New York Stock Exchange. Check it out. So what else you pick up, Sarah?
last thing before we got to go, I just thought it was so interesting you coming from a Japanese American background. His family is first American Hungarian. You know, they immigrated from Hungary, and he was describing how because inflation was so high. And I mean, all the stories we hear about these countries, you know, people who came to America because inflation or their money was worthless. I thought, how timely was this conversation that we're having given where we're headed right now with the dollar? And then, you know, that connection with Japanese history, I thought that was so cool. So it was, you know, this show, when you Japanese candlesticks, samurai swords, gold. I mean, it's so ridiculous how this could all be together in such a beautiful picture and conversation. So I'm excited for our audience to hear this one.
Yeah. And I wore my Marine flight jacket, you know, because I said my family fought because we were locked up and interned in a concentration camps in California. My family, my uncles, five uncles on one side fought against the Germans and the Italians. And two uncles fought against the Japanese. You know, study Japanese candlesticks. I mean, I did my best, which is why I'm an accumulation and never distribution. I always hold, and Kim and I will pass on our gold, silver, and real estate into a trust, and that trust will pay out money to charities for the rest of, so long as that trust is there. So we accumulate, we don't distribute. So that's why gold and silver will be here, because gold and silver are gold, God's money, was placed here by God. It's in the earth. And that's why I have silver. This is 400 ounces. I don't know how many ounces it is. But this is a dory bar. This is raw silver coming out of a mine. I own the mine. And Gary owns the charts going up and down. So final words, Sarah.
Final words, just thankful to Gary. And you met him at VRIC with Jay Martin. So that was a great connection for you to make up there while you were up there with your other gold bug friend. So just appreciative of the conversation and learning something new vocabulary.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, if you really want to learn to be an entrepreneur in precious metals, there's a program that goes on. It's called VRIC, Vancouver Resource Investment Conference. It's put on by Jay Martin. He's got his own podcast. But that's where I learned to be an entrepreneur, in Vancouver, British Columbia. I was standing at that booth 25 years ago at VRIC, Vancouver Resources Investor Conference, trying to sell my gold mine. I had a gold mine in China. We did strike gold. We had 1 billion ounces, I think, or 1 million ounces of gold in China. And for about 3 months, I was a billionaire until the Chinese found out we struck gold. And the Chinese took my mine away from me. And I thank you all for listening to the Rich Dad Radio Show. And please remember that, you know, money is freedom. Money will buy you freedom. And what Gary is talking about, Japanese candlesticks, changed his life because it bought him freedom. So thank you all very much. Thank you, Sarah, for the show.
Thank you.